Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all the movie news that you care about. He's the Axe Tornado, Todd Vandenberg, and I'm still the Nature Dragon, Rob Steele. Yes, Todd posted the wrestling name generator, and since wrestling was very prominent over the weekend, not just with WrestleMania, the G1 Supercard, damn it, that was where real wrestlers showed up. I'm just saying, it was a much better thing. But that leads us into the war between Netflix and everybody else, I guess. There's the big thing about whether Netflix should be eligible for Oscars. And someone else got involved with that this week, and that would be the Department of Justice's Antitrust Division, which is kind of a big thing, I think.
Kind of a big thing, yes.
They penned a letter to the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences CEO, Don Hudson, where concerns were expressed about new rules that would be written in a way that tends to suppress competition. And I have a very simple solution to this. To me, this is a very easy thing. Because right now, if you want to have a movie nominated for an Oscar, it has to be on a big screen at some point for a certain amount of time, which kind of leaves Netflix out because they're out on a smaller screen streamed to your home. You know what? Let's fix this very easy. If you put out something called a movie, even if it is on television, so, you know, made for TV movie, it's not called made for TV really long episode. It's called made for TV movie. If you want to put that up to be considered for the Oscars, knock yourself out. But here's the thing. If you want your movie to be nominated for an Oscar from TV, it will become instantly ineligible to be nominated for an Emmy.
Which would make sense. And that's an excellent solution.
And is it too simple?
No, that makes perfect sense. It shouldn't be eligible for both. It's one or the other. And the thing is, Netflix has been playing by the rules, and Netflix, anything that they want to be considered for the Oscars, they do exhibit on screens. For one thing, if it was Don Hudson instead of Don Hudson, Don Hudson would have welcomed the competition and they wouldn't be such candy asses. And another thing is, it's the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. It is not the Academy of Theatrically Distributed Entertainment. Motion pictures, like you said, it doesn't say theatrically distributed. That's just has been their standard form of distribution. Doesn't mean, just like you said, these aren't really long episodes. They're movies. They just happen to be distributed a different way. And especially Steven Spielberg, I still cannot figure what stick is up his ass about this or why he insists that Netflix and the streaming services are like the ghetto of entertainment and they cannot possibly be a part of the big boy party. It's like, get over yourself, dude.
He's worried about the nominees for Best Picture of the Year are The Good Witch Buys a Chocolate Bar. That's not going to happen.
You know, considering the guy directed 1941, he can just calm the hell down about his high
school. Yeah.
Funny movie, but not a great movie.
No.
It is so asinine. And I'm actually happy that the Justice Department under this current administration is doing something sensible, because this is sensible, because this is ridiculous. Absolutely freaking ridiculous. They set rules. New kid on the block plays by the rules, and they're still not happy. Again, I don't see theatrical distribution in the name of your organization, so just shut up.
Maybe it's about the money. It's not about the money, because the top grossing film of the year never ends up being nominated. I guess Black Panther did get nominated, but it was even though it was number two last year.
Right.
But yeah, usually, which leads us to the box office. And the latest in the series of live-action remakes of old Disney movies, where Dumbo didn't exactly fly the way they wanted it to.
No.
And I figured out why. Because people, it was a word-of-mouth thing. In my head, this works. People went to the movie expecting it to be Dumbo, like the animated one. And it was, from my understanding, the animated version of Dumbo, which a lot of people remember as being, oh, it's the movie about the flying elephant with the feather and the mouse. They don't remember how depressing that movie is.
It's a pretty sad movie.
Dumbo is a victim of just about every kind of abuse.
Yep.
They didn't show the sexual. I'm sure it was there somewhere, which I'm just glad they didn't show, because I don't know what kind of sexual abuse you can give an elephant. Not the point.
So to speak.
Yeah. Flopped. So I don't know.
I for one hope this is the first of the death throes of the let's remake every possible movie in the Disney canon so we can make more money. If there's a reason to do it other than to make more money, awesome. But it's just a cash grab. You and I both talked about the trailers, and hopefully I never see this new version of Dumbo because it looked awful in the trailers. It looks like nothing more than, oh, there's a bunch of kids, and the parents fondly remember the images that made them happy as opposed to the storyline, which was really sad for the most part. So we'll remake this in just the most hodgepodge, slapdash, ridiculous way possible. Let's get some name actors in there so they'll think, oh my gosh, it's got Danny DeVito.
And Tim Burton.
And, you know, it's just no. Stop this crap. Make something new and interesting instead of remaking. It's really frustrating. And I hope whoever greenlighted this project got shown the door, because, geez, just quit with this crap.
Well, that's not the last of the remakes, because, they need the money. No, they don't. Yeah. We need the money. But that's something completely different. Paramount held their CinemaCon in Las Vegas earlier this week, where they showed footage of the forthcoming Terminator movie, a sequel. A movie called Gemini Man, which is young Will Smith versus old Will Smith as assassins, which didn't they do this only with Bruce Willis and Gordon, where do we put the hyphen, Levitt Jr. I only remember two of his names at a time.
Yes, they have done this movie before.
But anyway, a couple other things they've put out. Footage of a new G.I. Joe movie. I'm sorry, they're filming a new one? Really? And Coming to America 2 has footage.
Which is impressive.
Snuck it in. Anyway, yes.
Since they've been talking about that since for next to forever.
Yeah, well, since the first one came out in, what was it? Back in 1326, that movie came out. It feels like it was that long ago.
It does indeed. It's been a minute, definitely, since it came out. I don't have problems with things like that. It's a sequel. It's a follow-up. And in a lot of cases, it can be interesting to see, where are these characters now? We talked about it months ago when we were talking about Silverado. It was like, that would be cool. Let's see where they are now. To me, that's not a cash grab. That's a continuation of an interesting story. But,
I don't know. Kind of, it's a thing. Whatever. If that's what you want to do, go right ahead. You're the one with the money on it. then there's the, I guess it's a trailer we can talk about. The Joker trailer. Very popular, but I don't know. Does it look good? Because to me, it kind of looked like the depressing kind of biopic that I would try to avoid.
It looks good. It looks interesting. It looks like a return to dark, gritty, but it fits. Obviously, I would think if it fits any character, it would fit the Joker. And because it's Joaquin Phoenix, it's like, since they've decided that we're going to have like a standalone and actually worry about, is this picture good, as opposed to, does this picture set up the next picture, which will suck also. I'm more on board with DC. So I like the casting. I like the, what we've seen so far. It doesn't really tell us much, but again, that's fine. It's just a little tease. That's cool. So far, so good for me, because it's Joaquin Phoenix.
And I'm not saying it's not going to be a good movie. It's just, for me, I'm probably going to wait until that hits the home at some point. I don't like coming out of theaters going, but it was supposed to be happy. You know, I'm not into that. It's not my thing. I'll wait for Birds of Prey. How's that? That movie is coming and has probably the worst quote I can think of to get anyone interested in seeing it. It came from director Kathy Yan. And no, I'm not being sexist. I'm just saying maybe you should think your quotes out. Because her quote about Birds of Prey, the all-female character Gotham movie, her quote is, "This is not Batman's Gotham. Our Gotham is so much scrappier," which immediately in my head means it has a small body, an enormous head, and is just going to annoy the crap out of everyone.
Well, thankfully, I didn't go that route, but now I almost can't not go that route.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've screwed it up for everybody.
If
that character is brought back into my head, damn it, everyone's coming with me.
I'm kind of in the mindset that I don't want to see a scrappy comic book movie. Regardless of who you're comparing it to, that doesn't really sound that interesting at all. It sounds like lame.
I mean, I like that you've got a good cast to it.
Yeah.
But
I assume she means like street level. I'm not quite sure what she means by scrappy, because that doesn't conjure up anything entertaining.
No.
Scrappy is the 180-pound jobber who goes up against King Kong Bundy. I don't want to see that movie.
What? A wrestling reference? Not in this show.
Never on this show. Oh, Lord.
Well, Axe Tornado, what do you think about this? Because this also came out of DC this week. Now, we already mentioned that Idris Elba was taking over for Will Smith in the Suicide Squad movie.
Indeed.
Except they announced that Idris Elba is not playing Deadshot, who Will Smith played in the first one, leading to lots of speculation. Okay, so who the hell is he playing then? And they won't say yet.
There are a lot of possibilities.
There are, but I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing him as Deathstroke, but they keep saying that Joe Manganiello Gorilla or whatever is supposed to be playing him. Exactly. And actually already did at the end of Justice League, but
who knows? It's not like they're averse to casting changes. So no. Could be. Absolutely could be. Wow. I don't know. No clue who's going to be. And as long as it's Idris Elba and James Gunn, I'm cool with it. I mean, he could play Scrappy McNoodle if he wants to, and I would still go watch it.
They also announced that Jai Courtney is coming back as Captain Boomerang. And a lot of people said, oh, I guess, there was a quote from Jai Courtney that said, yeah, I guess I'm going to be doing it. No one's actually talked to me yet. And one of the comments under that was, it's because no one else is interested in hiring you. Just take off your shirt and take the job.
So rude.
Okay.
So rude. Although it's interesting that it's been announced that he's returning, and apparently it was not announced to him.
Nobody told me. Really?
Jeez.
I remember many years ago I can't remember which one of the X-Men movies it was, where they announced that Beast was going to be played by The Rock, which could have been interesting, but Dwayne Johnson replied, I'm sorry, I'm doing what? And that was the extent of his comments on it. And you kind of go, oh, okay. But speaking of things that happened a long time ago, and I'm going to be doing something on this at some point.
Yes.
The live-action version of Akira.
Yes.
Is allegedly going to start filming soon, except there are changes. For example, it's not going to take place in Neo Tokyo, because that would make sense, because that's where the books took place. It's going to be in New Manhattan, and yet shot in California. You know what? That's fine. And actually, I almost have a thing against the anime version now, because I got the graphic novels that this was based on, and I've started reading them. And no, I haven't finished it. It's about 3,000 pages.
Is that all?
But Rob, it's a comic book. It's 3,000 pages. I'm reading it as I can. And it is so very different to the anime that we've got now, which kind of puts it in that X-Men category of, did you guys read the story? But Katsuhiro Otomo, who created it in the first place, is the one who wrote the script and said, look, if we're going to knock it down to an hour and a half, 2 hour movie, right, I'm going to throw these essentials in. And that's how we're going to do it. And that I don't have as much of a problem with. But you know, this live action movie, even if it is a 3-hour movie, you're not going to be, that's 1,000 pages an hour. No, exactly. It's not going to fit.
Right. Scripts are basically a page a minute.
Maybe so an HBO series.
Yeah, you're not going to get a 50-hour movie done. So you're going to miss a lot of those 3,000 pages. You just have to deal with it.
But I think making it an HBO miniseries or something and actually get it in, because the story I've read so far is, and I really liked the movie, no matter how creepy it got. The books are much better. So
after this, Rob will read Lone Wolf and Cub.
No.
And we'll hear from Rob in 2027 when he's done. Oh,
God. No, I'm good. Thanks. No, this is... So anyway, it takes place in New York. They're filming in California, which leads to the next bit, which I do not understand. Has to do with movies being filmed in places. And the Australian government is providing a $17 million subsidy to Disney for shooting currently untitled, but believed to be Shang-Chi, Marvel movie in Sydney, Australia. Now, they've apparently shot other stuff there before, like Thor Ragnarok was shot in Sydney. And there have been other movies that popped up on this list of, here's other things that were filmed in Sydney. Aquaman. Okay, I get that. Superman Returns. All right, get that. X-Men Origins Wolverine and The Wolverine. Okay. Alien Covenant. Okay. And the Lego Batman movie.
Interesting.
Excuse me. I have a question. What? You had to go to Sydney to put Legos together and do a lot of stop motion stuff. Really? Sydney.
They got money back. They got their rebate. How the taxpayers of Australia feel about helping bankroll so many. Hopefully there really is a positive economic impact for this, because otherwise that's sad.
I'll agree.
And of course, Georgia, you living in Georgia, you know very well that Georgia spends quite a bit of money on the film and TV industry for those folks who are making payment. That's not really a movie.
A lot. Including Avengers Endgame, some of which was shot in Georgia. And Avengers Endgame set a record this past week for selling, as soon as tickets went available online at Fandango and movietickets.com, bam, set records for sales.
Yeah, they set their all-time record, I believe it was for Fandango, for pre-sales in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Which is a little crazy. I'm sure you're aware. Our listeners may not be aware, but AMC, so far AMC is the only one I've seen that's doing this, but they're doing a Marvel movie marathon leading up to Endgame. All the movies back to back to back to back to back. I'm not going to say all that, but a 59 hour and 7 minutes, I believe, marathon, including a couple. There's a lot of weird things about this. I mean, almost 60 hours at a movie straight through is kind of wow. I'm not sure how long the breaks are between the movies. Hopefully they've installed porta potties just outside the doors, because that's a long stretch and they don't have a lot of stalls in the movie theaters that much. It's also,
and how are you going to get food? And
well, I mean, you know, they can,
you can only have so much popcorn and milk duds.
Well, I mean, most of the theaters now, I mean, you've got hot dogs and nachos and actually burgers and blah, blah, blah. So, and I'm sure the theaters that they're doing this at have like full restaurants, because a lot of them. So the food's okay. It's the restroom breaks might be issues. And people are talking about, okay, which movie are you going to sleep through? And Thor Dark World, unfortunately, pops up a lot. Iron Man 2. But the problem is that it's kind of front loaded with that. It's like, as you get later, it's like your eyes are going to be, I mean, get some urine or Visine, because you're going to be blind by the time Endgame starts.
Don't forget the caffeine.
Oh my God, lots of caffeine, which is what the Coke or Pepsi is for.
Yeah.
But why only AMC so far? And so far, AMC is only doing this at 3 theaters. 3. And they're sold out. And people, they're charging $125 a pop. It took forever to find that, because the freaking theaters are sold out, so you can't even try to fake buying a ticket. I don't understand why they're not doing this at more theaters. It's one freaking screen. You're getting $125 guaranteed for the 3 days in the middle of the week. In other words, please bring this to West Palm Beach because I might consider doing this. But wow, not a bad deal. $125 and you get almost 60 hours of entertainment. And you also get to see Endgame. I think it's about 3 hours before Endgame is released in general. So, and that's part of the big draw, I'm sure, is you get to be, oh, I saw it before you did. Although you probably didn't. You probably would sleep through it. But, you know.
But, well,
very, very
you
weird.
Just watch, you can't even watch the trailers to get all the spoilers out of it. Because even the new trailer has nothing that looks like it's going to be out of the first act.
Yep.
You know, exactly. Nothing looked climactic in it, which I'm loving the marketing they're doing.
Yeah, they're doing
not the toy company.
No, not the toy companies. I was talking with my daughter last night, and she said she's very hopeful that what it is there's one big long fight at the end, but the first 2 hours are basically Thanos playing Farmville. And that's what it is. So I can see that.
Oh, geez. Anyway, more news out of Marvel coming from their streaming service. Well, actually, it's Disney streaming service, but we're being picky.
Yeah.
But it has to do with Marvel. I guess, you know, we can throw the Star Wars stuff in too. The Mandalorian series has completed filming. They're going to start shooting the Loki miniseries and the Scarlet Witch. Loki and Scarlet Witch are both filming now. And there's little details in that they're only going to be 6 episodes long, but they will be available when the streaming service becomes available on launch date. There's just not a launch date yet. There's also news that Captain Marvel, Episode 9, Toy Story 4, basically any new Marvel movie that's going to come out will be streaming on this service before anywhere else. Now, if Captain Marvel is on that list and Captain Marvel's in theaters now, that means we've got less than 2 months before it hits DVDs. So we can probably have that launch just about any time now, I think. Or that may be the big launch deal of, we're going to start streaming it at the beginning of May. So May 1st, here's the new streaming service.
That would be pretty awesome.
And they've also said that the entire Disney vault, which sounds like they're including Song of the South and That Darn Cat, will be available shortly after launching. And the whole thing is supposed to cost less than Netflix.
That's also quite hopeful.
Which, yeah.
Especially since Netflix is going up again a little bit. So that would be quite lovely. Okay. Time to cut 2 more Starbucks coffees out of the budget every month.
Oh, darn. let's see. what was the other thing that came out this week? Parrot Analytics. I'm not sure who that is, but that's okay. They issued their annual global television demand report about the subscription video on demand market, where Netflix had 71% of the global subscription market, followed by at 71%, followed by Amazon at 11, Hulu at 9, and CBS at 4. So there's a bit of a gap.
I'll say.
But the top... Some of the top series that were streamed over these pay services this year, the top four, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Star Trek Discovery, Stranger Things, and Titans. Now, Titans threw me off because that's the DC streaming service.
Exactly.
Although it is Netflix in other countries. I'm wondering if that had anything to do with it. Also in their top 10, Daredevil.
Interesting.
Whoops.
Yeah.
We canceled a really well-doing show. Oh, dear. Which, silly us.
Again, really weird because they know it was doing really well. I just don't understand some of their decisions. Then again, I'm not making money. How many hands over how many fists? So.
Yeah. Too many of
yes.
All of the above. So they're not exactly looking like they're going to bring Daredevil back anytime soon. However, MTV, something I don't like to even think about very much these days, is remaking an early 80s BBC sitcom called The Young Ones. I don't know. Do you remember The Young Ones?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do remember The Young Ones. Oh.
It was such a bizarre show. To me, a lot of the time they would take a joke, latch onto it, do really good with it, and then keep going a little bit. And I'm like, no, you stop about 5 minutes ago with that and go on to something else. But it still had some really, really funny stuff in it. Except this time it's going to be the same premise, except it's all going to be American actors faking British accents, which immediately sounds, well, I'm sorry. There's one Irish guy, Jack Gleason, who's playing Vivian, a Canadian named Keir Gilchrist, who's probably going to be playing Rick. Joe Keery from Stranger Things is likely to be Neil, and Mike, and I don't get this one, Timothy Chalamet.
Really? That's kind of that's actually very surprising.
The Academy award-winning movie star.
Seems like he has plenty on his plate to be in the young ones. I mean, that's a hell of a coup for them, if that's true, but that's...
It's not what I would have picked as something for someone... shouldn't they all be British if you're doing a British show again?
I guess they're not going to do that version of it.
Batman was British. Well, no, it's set in England still.
That's so strange.
I don't know. I'm sure the thumbtacks in Vivian's forehead's not going to go over very well. It's abuse. No, it's not. He did it on purpose. It's a piercing, kind of. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. It's...
The young ones, like, as you said, very bizarre, but it was very funny. And yeah, sometimes they would seem to latch onto something and until it was
dead. Drive it into the ground, but you know.
And still beat it, but God, how bizarre.
That's bizarre. Anyway, just to bring us back full circle, I suppose, because we started the show with the Department of Justice and we're going to end with JAG, which is an extension of the Department of Justice, kind of.
Sort of.
In that, you remember JAG.
I watch it very often, but yes, I do remember JAG.
Yeah, the law series that had to do with the Judge Advocate General, having to do with the Navy, which spun off a few series that have done, I don't know, I think NCIS has done fairly well.
In its 10,000 incarnations, yes.
I mean, I had forgotten NCIS was a spinoff, which is ridiculous. So it went from JAG to NCIS to NCIS LA to NCIS NO to, and now we're back to JAG again, which may be coming back. The main characters are reprising, or the actors are reprising their characters in an upcoming episode of NCIS Los Angeles, and there could just be would it be a spin-off, or would it be spinning back on?
Yeah, I think it's a spin-on. That sounds more fun anyway.
Yeah, because, you know, spin-off is a new show. Spin-on is back to where you started. And that's what this would be. There's an interesting way to tie up all the shows, if you want to. I don't know. I still watch it. For some reason, I've started liking New Orleans. Much I liked New Orleans to begin with. It's the show I was questionable about.
Exactly. It's specific. Let's clarify that.
Don't write in here, "Ooh, Rob doesn't like New Orleans." I liked New Orleans when I was there. Mardi Gras, beads, and the other things that came with the beads. It was great. Anyway, that seems to be everything we have for the show this week.
Rob's in trouble. Anyway, yes.
Unlike last week, everything we said today, it's real news. Because, I don't know, last week was fun. Yes, I'm keeping the logo the same because I accidentally, that was my hint. The only hint I gave before I announced that it was an April Fool's thing was inverting the logo. Thing is, I inverted the logo and we kind of like it, so we're going to leave it that way.
That's pretty cool. Unlike us.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, me too. But we'll be back on Friday with some movie reviews, including a foreign film that's worth seeing, he says with a question mark. Tune in Friday. Until then, get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the light?